Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Toffee Blues Opposition View. Again, I'm Max, and the two long weeks without Everton are finally coming to a close. The lads are back from the warm weather training camp in Dubai and have Watford away coming up this Saturday. I got the chance to sit down and talk to John from the Rookery End just to discuss the game, to discuss Watford and the commonalities that they have with Everton. And by that, I don't just mean Zed Cars. I hope you enjoy the interview. We're now joined by John from the Rookery End. John, thanks for coming on again, mate. It's nice to see you.
No, good to... it's all right to see you at this point. I've been an Everton fan.
Yeah, things are looking a bit better for us at least. I just want to start from, you know, the last season, Watford under Walter Mazzarri just avoided relegation, finishing one place above the drop zone. He was replaced by Marco Silva at the beginning of this season, and all in all, Watford had a decent start to the season with, you know, notable wins against Bournemouth, Southampton and Arsenal. And around October, it was roughly around, you know, the time where Ronald Koeman was sacked by Everton after our dreadful start. Silva's head was clearly turned by the proposition of managing Everton due to their interest. Results and morale around Watford generally seemed to drop, if I'm correct in saying that, around that time. Can you just kind of detail the events of what happened with Marco Silva at that point and the impact that Javi Gracia has had since coming in?
Well, I sort of think the, you know, when a manager sort of gets what is deemed to be, I'm not going to deem it to be, a bigger club and to sort of go in there to manage. It's really interesting, Marco, because what we felt was, you know, on our podcast, when we talked about it, was, you know, in many ways, if he had done and continued to do what he did at Watford in those first 10 games he had with us, he would have been knocking on the big boys. You know, even a season at Watford after the half season he had at Hull, in many ways, Everton would have been a step up, yes, with an established Premier League side, but not where he actually could potentially be. And it felt like, in terms of when, you know, Everton sort of were asking to speak to him, it was just a little bit too quick for him. He hadn't done enough. But what we feel, and again, we never know, why would that change things so much? Watford said he wasn't allowed to speak to them. Maybe he didn't, maybe his agent did to Everton. But then, clearly, I think he then fell out with the management, the CEO, the chairman, and that's where his sort of head was. I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do this, but I'll just get through this. His motivation, and therefore his motivation of the players, sort of really went off. And like you mentioned, Mazzarri, and not the same thing, but there was a thing in the last year where when he lost the team, but then he was stuck around to the end of the year. And I do think Marco would have stuck around to the end of the year if things hadn't gone as bad as they went. And with any manager, with the number of bad results we had and the bad performances that we had, that he wasn't going to stick around. And since Javi has been with us, you can see, you know, we lost our first game away at Southampton in the FA Cup. But we are still a side stricken with injuries. He then set up brilliantly and motivated brilliantly a side against Chelsea. Yeah, I know they're just Chelsea again. Playing Barcelona later tonight as we record this. But they're not what they were. And they've certainly had a manager that's lost his motivation, his mojo, I think, a little bit as well. He just motivated what we knew was a good bunch of players to play a game. And it was a fantastic thing to watch. So I think he sort of found what we saw under Marco in some players. And with a few coming back, hopefully, we'll be even a step closer to what we were achieving. You know, I can't sort of say that, you know, three of our injuries you would call key.
So, you know, you mentioned that. I just want to bring it up, that game against Chelsea. You know, it was a game that really grabbed, you know, the national media's attention, rather than just local media for Watford. It was a tremendous performance, albeit a poor Chelsea performance, but a tremendous performance by Watford. A man of the match standout performer in that match was a man we're very familiar with here on Merseyside, Gerard Deulofeu. He's back in the Premier League trying to um, trying to figure his way out into the Premier League, as again, he just can't seem to maintain a place in that Barcelona side. When he was at Everton, he was very much a player that tested the fans' patience. But, you know, listening...
Yeah, what way did he test? Was it more? Was he one of those players who frustrated a yeah. fan because he tries too much and loses it?
Yeah,
or but, did he go missing in games?
It was pretty much his decision making was, I think, a major factor. You know, it was kind of when he got the ball out wide, it was always the same trick: try and beat the man and whip the ball in the box. And it was very inconsistent with the balls that he put in. I was just going to ask you, what's the feeling about him? Obviously, I know by listening to your podcast and just gathering some Watford fan reactions, you know, they've been very impressed with him since he's come in. But what's the sense that you get from Gerard Deulofeu at Watford?
I would say we've only had, I think we've only had three games with him. One ago was the Chelsea game, and we've had several players over the last few years. We had Niang on loan from AC Milan last year, who had a great game when we played Arsenal away, in which we won, and he slowly petered out and showed exactly what he was worth and why he would come on loan to Watford rather than to another bigger club. Mm. So that's sort of the back of my mind a little bit, but you can sort of see that, you know, what I like more than anything is how quickly he sort of settled in and what he's added to us that we've been lacking with our injuries, that ability to get the ball from the front to the back, from the back to the front, to say, quickly. And that's where what we were doing under Marco was really brilliantly, where we had Chalabar and Cleverley and also Decore in our midfield three, you know, beautifully quick through our midfield and up front. And that's what we've been lacking. He sort of added that back, but not 100%. We made a few signings over the window. He certainly seemed to be the only one where you'd say, oh, you'll be in the side quickly. Mm. But, you know, we're used to young loanees from like foreign places and loanees coming in to Watford. So we're aware of his limitations, but he's sort of added at least something that we've been lacking. And that's always a good thing.
Yeah. And he, as you say, he does really seem to be now a mainstay in that Watford side. You know, he seems to be a name that seemed to be on the team sheet. Albeit he still struggles to complete 90 minutes, which is something that Everton fans really did pick up on. But I was just going to kind of discuss with you, right? You've been unchanged from the Chelsea game in the West Ham game, which resulted in a 2-0 loss. I watched that game and it wasn't necessarily a poor performance by Watford. No. The two goals that were given away were more defensive errors and defensive lapses rather than a poor performance. Given Everton's poor away record as of late, do you think there'll be a selection change or even a tactical change for this upcoming game?
Well, we felt there wasn't a tactical change against West Ham. And maybe, how could you go around and, you know, a team that just beat Chelsea, that not just, you know, beat Chelsea, but really brought back the fans in terms of a feeling and a happiness that we were sort of lacking. You know, you couldn't then go, oh, well, we're going to change three of you. And I don't think that was the right thing to do. But we definitely weren't set up in the right way against West Ham. They certainly had an extra body in the midfield. So hopefully there'll be a slight tactical change in that way against Everton. There could be, like I say, defensively, we have been very weak, but defensively is where we've had sort of several key injuries to the lineup. So we haven't been necessarily consistent. And you hope there might be some players. We haven't had a full, you know, who's going to be back, who's going to be back on the bench, who's going to be back maybe starting, where that might sit. I can't see huge amounts of change in terms of the starting 11, but maybe a slight change to that formation to play to play against Everton. And you hope that as a manager for the first, his third game that West Ham was in England, he sort of went, oh, okay, that's how you what you get when you play against West Ham and you don't play against big teams like Chelsea. Mm. So hopefully that was a learning experience for him. And how he sort of can, you know, use those players. And you know, also the third game for him. So really seeing those players in their match mode.
Yeah. You said there, you know, Olivier Decore is a name that seemed to be attracting a lot of attention due to his performances this season. Are Watford hopeful of keeping hold of him, or can you see him eventually being let go and going to another side?
He'll go to another side, guaranteed. Mm. I support Watford Football Club, and I'm used to that. Mm. You know, we sold John Barnes to Liverpool in the late 80s. We've always been that club, and we will always be that club. And our owners, the Pozzos, have owned Udinese since the mid-80s, and that's how they've made money. You know, that's how they've kept Udinese where they are. A bit of ability to find talents from around the world. one of them being Sanchez, who's now at Man United, of course. That's what's going to happen. We bought him for 20 about 2 years ago, didn't play for us straight away. Last year, wasn't going to play, almost went out on loan. But then with injuries, he came in the side and started to shine. And this year, he's really shone through. I mean, he is the engine. Him and Cleverley have done brilliantly in our midfield this year. So I think he will go. I think he could go this summer, but it would have to be good business.
Yeah.
We're all Premier League sides now. We all get plenty of money. It's not like we've got him and we're in the Championship. We'll be trying to claw our way out of it. So it should be for the right money. And personally, I want him to go to the right club. I don't want him to go to a club where he's going to be second or third choice and just sit around. He's still got some development to do. But he needs it in a different setup, just as every player does, to sort of keep making those strides forward.
And you mentioned there, he has really been at the heart of that midfield. And obviously, from an Everton perspective, that first half at Goodison was a 45 minutes where, we were going through a really bad run of form, played considerably poor in that first half. But Watford's midfield really did shine through in how you overrun us and how you caused damage. Who do you think is going to be the danger man who's going to cause problems for Everton this time round?
Well, that midfield, that's, like I said, that's where we sort of lacked a little bit. That game was Cleverley, Will Hughes and Decore. We haven't really had a proper workroom three in that midfield for a while. Hopefully Will Hughes could be back, but again, he could be one on the bench. We've still got Richarlison, who's causing issues for people out on the left, but he seems to be getting a lot of attention from defences and getting covered quite a lot. So Decore still, if we stop the season now, and that's stopped the season at many points throughout the year so far, he will be our man of the season, player of the season. Hard-hitting danger players just aren't fit. Firmino, who's on our right side of defence, / midfield, / winger, he's back and forth and pretty special. I don't really, up front, we're not going to scare you up front. That's the biggest thing, because Deeney isn't scoring and neither's Andre Gray. So somewhere along the line, hopefully our midfield will score some goals. But exactly what that midfield will be, we're not 100% sure.
So just on that note and finally, just to close it, what's your prediction for the game on Saturday?
2-1 to Watford.
Well,
in some ways, I don't know really. And I think we're still trying to, like you said, the thing we've discussed: how will he set up that team?
Yeah,
and what players will be back from injury to give him either the option or some option off the bench? That will be the telling thing, where I can perhaps give you a better thought out prediction come 2 o'clock when the teams come out on Saturday.
Well, as an Evertonian and watching all of their away performances over the last, however long, it really wouldn't surprise me if Watford did come away with the win. But let's just hope that you're wrong. So, John, thanks for coming on, mate. It's been great to have you.
No worries, anytime.
So, there we have it. Let's hope John's wrong with his prediction and the Blues pick up all 3 points on the road this weekend. Thanks for watching, and remember, if you're enjoying the videos, to like, comment and subscribe. I've been Max with the Toffee Blues.